Howdy, and welcome to episode 6 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for people in Fairview and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show released every Wednesday featuring stories that aim to inform and inspire. Local radio stations don't exist in small towns like ours, so we use Hello Fairview to fill that void with news related to Fairview that's relevant. This is a value for value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on the value you receive. This is a concept founded by the Podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host John C. Dvorak on the No Agenda show almost 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one-man operation, so if you have any ideas, events, business opportunities, job openings, please don't hesitate to let us know. You are a producer of the show. You are not a product. Your time and attention is not being sold to some advertiser for value. Some shows are going to be longer and some shows are going to be shorter, but we'll do my best to keep things relevant. Traffic time. It's kind of normal busy this time. Cumberland 100 was way better this week with a full week under its belt with the new Cumberland and 100 intersection, which was nice. There'll be more closures as we keep going down there. If you see, they're building as they're widening for that turn lane into the middle school. So we'll have to see how that keeps going. And there may still be more closures throughout the week here or there. There's nothing official on there. Red light update. We still have only three right now at Old Cox, Publix, and Walmart. We'll still get one eventually at the city center entrance and one at Cumberland and 100 intersection when that expansion occurs. I'm not sure if either one of those two are going to hurt or help, but you know, with the school rush, all I can hope is that the crossing guards can control that. Future projects, we still have the road widening along with the Cumberland 100 intersection buoy, so we'll have to see how that keeps going. Still trying to get some more TDOT goodness there, but there's definitely been a couple million dollars set aside, and we have that in the show notes for this project way back in 2023 for the widening, where it needs $55 million, and we have three, so that means it's going to be a very long time. We're growing. County side notes, the Greenways plan survey is still open if between now and October 23rd, so it closes this week. The county will use this on how they design greenways and walking spaces, horse trails, all those types of things, biking, all that. So house moving, new segment here. We got 9 houses have been moved into this from September 29th through October 5th. With the most expensive being $775,000 and the cheapest being $394,000 and the average being $542,000. Wowzers. The highlights, there was 3 on Cedar Crest, 1 in Otter Creek, and the others in other subdivisions along with 1 on like Old National Highway. So back to our city news. On October 11th, there was a ribbon cutting at the Storybook Trail, which was an awesome interest. The police, Fairview police still has their Shop with a Cop applications are still open. And you can go by the police department 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. to get that, and it must be completed. And they're ready to go, so everything's got to be returned no later than 4 p.m. on November 14th. We continue to give thanks to our local businesses that have supported this cause throughout the years with fundraising and donations. Just reach out to the city for that. It's good. So recap for last meetings, we've got all that in there. So the last meeting, there was no Bonner zoning appeals. There was no planning commission since the last one, which was the 10-14, which 183 homes were approved. And the Board of Commissioners was October 16th at 7 p.m. And so here's the recap of that meeting. Number one, there was no public comments. No one came for that one. There was just a couple people in the room just hanging out. Police, less overtime than 2024, but that's, you know, there's more FTEs, so that makes perfect sense of why it would be like that. Training hours are down compared to the last 2024 for the last 3 months. Arrests are around 70 a month. Citations in September were 137, but they average around 100. Auto accidents, there was no fatalities, and there's around 20 per month. Calls for service are around 1,000 per month. Which is pretty wild. 2 new police officers joined the force. On the fire department update, Call volume is increasing with an average of about 150. There was 165 calls in September of this month. So that's we're zooming along, I guess. There's been 1,285 calls this year. There's been 3 search and rescues in Bowie Park. Did not know that. Five fires this year so far, and 2 of them were actually lithium ion batteries catching on fire. Average response time is 8 minutes and 38 seconds. Average time on scene is 20 minutes and 56. Third quarter calls was 466, so a pretty good chunk of them by the, you know, this last quarter here. Some calls are going further out in the county. They showed a heat map and how more and more people. And if you ever need smoke alarms installed in your home, just schedule a time. Reach out to them at 615-799-3473. Training hours were over 1,500 hours for there. Several new employees are off probation, so they're ready to go. Their parking lot got resurfaced. They got to participate in the homecoming parade, which was great to see them kind of lead that and obviously help with the safety of that as they were going along. There was a fire hydrant on Adams Drive that wasn't working that Mr. Hall reported. I'm not sure how you would know that it's not working unless you try to turn it on. So that's kind of interesting. Finance and city manager report. The second meeting of each month will usually have this, which is the BOC budget, summary financial report, accounts balances. None of this stuff was posted to anything. You know, he just said you can come by. Carolyn Roberts brought up again to how these items are not being added in a timely manner. So no one can review these reports because they're just uploaded, you know, within a couple minutes or the day of. October is the last month for chipper service. If you're putting stuff out there and you're in the city, talked about the economic development report, and it's going to need more time for the board review because it was just submitted today on the 16th too. There was no old business. The new business was a 5-0 unanimous for resolution 5725, which was basically updating a thoroughfare plan and allocating budget for a 1982 plan that talked about widening the roads and changing some of the flow on 100, which is kind of crazy that it's been that long. There was not enough details, obviously, talked about this. It was just kind of wham, bam, done. There was all the price matching. The details are in there, even from our last show. So it's a 80% federal, 10% state, 10% local. So basically $10,000 to $15,000 for them to do some of this stuff. The next resolution, 5825, was a unanimous yes. This was related to the farmers market. We got a lot more details. I wish some people from the farmers market would have actually been there. But they, of course, don't advertise what they're actually going to talk about if you don't read the agenda. So this is a $2.2 million plan. The city will need $1.1 million to match that. They can use the value of the land to do that. The company that they're using has helped 20 other cities get grants just like this. And since Fairview's never got one, they have a good chance of getting it. This is a 50-50 match. And applications are going to open in January. Mayor Anderson talked a lot about the removable bollards and how they can allow traffic to come in and out to drop stuff off at the stage. Talked about this vendor size, which is 8 foot by 8 foot, and that there's around a 10-foot walkway in the center of the facility. Talked about some of the swells and walkways, how they're going to have to work around that as they make those sidewalks. And then they talked about parking. One of the first questions came up. She talked about Westview United Methodist as a possible parking spot for vendors. Talked about a possible crosswalk on 100 or Deer Ridge. And there are still future plans for that, which include possible log house that has been torn down that the city has been storing when that time comes that they could reconstruct there. Talked about how we could expand the parking. We talked about how the vendors could drop off stuff and park afterwards. Talked about how she cannot remember if there was like really any sound problems because sound problems got brought up. The pond is a detention pond. The farmers market ended up where they were because talked about how the current farmers market is dangerous. I don't really see that. I think everyone's pretty courteous and kind and pays attention there, but I guess so. Fairview used to have it at the rec center, but was pushed out of the county because of liability and insurance concern, which is why it is where it is now at Messick Chiropractic and Fairview Deli Donuts. And if they don't want people to park at the rec center to go to this new facility because the county may have the same concerns. Mr. Buffalini talked about some sound interference, which is why that sound stuff got him up, how they oriented the thing. The grading was going to require some fill, but they're also expanding the pond, so some of that dirt can come out of there. There will be speakers in the amphitheater and some lighting options. It's not really easily expandable from the current plan because then it would be lopsided because you can't move the bathroom on the one side. They talked about some trees and maybe moving some of them. They talked about irrigation, and it's up to the city. Asked about the maintenance of the wood and if they needed to stain or seal it, and they said it was pressure treated, which just means it's going to gray in a couple years and go from there. We have been paying for engineering fees of this out of our general fund bond, and as they've been doing stuff, so they've been paid as they go. Miss Roberts brought up, she thought about the vendors. She was one person that thought about the vendors. She was one of the second speakers, which is great. She brought up the lack of parking and the number of vendors and how there might not even be enough parking and how they have to run across 100 and all that kind of stuff. She was also worried about the crosswalk safety and that there's only 14 spots left after the vendors park. We also asked about who decided to rent it out. The city will run that. And so there's 24 slots each weekend, I guess. Talked about removing the bus parking, which was a great idea because bus could just drop off at the rec and then park at the rec center. Talked about more of the lighting on the paths and the vendors and how all that is and how we're committed to doing that. And then she also talked about how the grant, if we change the plan, if we can still do it, but if we don't build it, are we still committed with the engineering firm? And we're not, but we are bound to do this. Especially when we use the land for collateral, that 3 acres, that has to be in perpetuity a park to go from that. Mr. Hall thought what about the expansions are planned? He brought up that, and that's what prompted the discussion about the log cabin. And we talked about other grants, if we could apply for them for the sidewalks and other improvements that might be needed to make this a little bit better location, but that would complicate the grant. Mr. McDonald, Vice Mayor McDonald, brought up parking as his concern and noted the current market doesn't have that much parking but seems to be doing fine for years. Talked about sidewalks from the other parking area, spoke about funding and how it's going to be good for the town, and asked if we should wait for the design to be done before moving forward or doing that. And the answer was yes, you can move forward and there will be revisions just as site plans and everything like that is done, because this is just the first revision. City manager talked about how this amphitheater could host around 250 to 300 people max. And obviously there's not enough parking, but there is a 7-acre lot that the city owns 200 yards down the road that could be used as overflow parking. The parks department will handle things just like they do Bowie Park to rent out a pavilion. This property, the land should be worth $600,000, which means they'll just have to come up with $700,000 to actually fund this all the way through. Between there, or sorry, $500,000. City Codes talked about the new events tab that they're coming up with on the website, where vendors can upload their documentation and other documents that are required to rent out spaces to be ready for this, along with things they're improving for the park. This is the fear of the farmers market being hosted by the city, where money will come out of the vendor's pocket before they've even made $1. Talked about the fees and that those are still in process, so no estimations were given, so we don't know how far off this is from some of the others. So everything that we thought of before was still good to go, so we'll see how that kind of plans out. The round table, Mr. Buffalini talked about the pumpkin patch, the Lady Jackets soccer team winning their thing, one of the high school golf team members making it to the state championship. Miss Roberts on the round table thanked the police and fire department. So did Miss Anderson. She talked about the water board and how it's at 5 o'clock on the second Monday of each month and that the city has nothing to do with the water, and that you can call 615-441-4188 for the water authority majority of Dickson County. If you have any questions about your bills, and most people's bills that did go up that we're complaining about, we talked about last show, was because it was a 29-day billing cycle before and a 40-day billing cycle before or after that, as they upgraded some of their systems. They talked about that everything's kind of digital, and if you have irrigation and you're doing stuff to your lawn, if you have a one-time fee of $1,000, you can set up a separate fee, a separate meter, so you're not just paying for the sewage for that. And she also thanked everyone that reached out to her, because she wouldn't have known that there was an issue with the water authority or any of that without that, because she hasn't seen her price go up. Mr. McDonald talked about the water prices and how that, and there was a paint bucket that fell out of a truck. This was at the Seven Hair Parlor and Old Cox, and talked about how we might want to find the property, the owner of that paint that did it, to help reimburse the property owner, Seven Hair Salon, that their parking lot messed up. It looks like that parking lot did get resealed, but you can still see the white trail on there. Wanted to be thankful for the plans that we have for the traffic plans and thoroughfare plans and how things are moving forward. So we're good to go there. Mr. Hall thanked the city employees, and that there are more trees got trimmed, and he thanks them for that, as we've been able to do that. Planning Commission, there's no new meetings till November 18th. Board of Commissioners, there's no new meetings until November 6th and 20th. The October 28th is our Board of Commissioner Town Hall. That's when you want to come and talk to them. Parks and Recs is November 12th at 8:30 at the Historic Village. And Around Town Coffee is November 3rd. So we'll see all that going on. All right, state of Tennessee. The No Kings protest on the 18th appeared to have been a success. Around 33 towns with around 3,000 people and 8,000 people in Nashville estimated to be there, with national reporting estimated in around 7 million. So just a couple percent of the population was there. It didn't seem like there was any major destruction. There was a couple arrests and stuff like that, which is good. So it means it stayed relatively peaceful, at least in our state. Memphis National Guard is still in the news. I've seen reports of 803 total arrests from September 29th through October 12th. And we still see notes of how lawmakers and judges and things like that are trying to block it, but it looks like it's going. School voucher program, we talked about that last time. Basically, it's going from 20,000 currently to 40,000. And this is a $7,300 voucher that goes from there. December 2nd will be the final special election for the 7th U.S. House seat. And so, Afton Ben for the Democrats and Matt Van Epps for the Republicans, based on the primary results. The Music City Loop is still being drilled, exploratory drilling, and a little bit more construction on the entrance on the Nashville side. The bills. This is what we have for this week. Nothing super cool or detailed. There was only one joint committee meeting for the Joint and Ways and Means Committee. But this is the basic title of this was that there is the Office of Victims Crimes 2015 Crimes Act, VOCA, Victims Assistance Formula Grant, which is $26,601,721 is what they're going to talk about on October 23rd at 9 a.m. What is that going to do? It sounds exciting. How's the Hill? Well, it's passable right now. Fall is rocking. Runny noses are abundant, with low temperatures now in the 40s and highs in the 70s. The weather gurus are expecting a little bit of rain this weekend and maybe into next Tuesday. New businesses, nothing new spotted. Ace Hardware still brewing up on the Hill across from Tractor Supply Co. There's still an open slot at Publix, Bowie Commons, and at Bowie Meadows, where Cornerstone Financial and Papa John's and the nail salon are. Other than that, we're just waiting to see what happens. Farmers Market. Make sure you visit the Farmers Market every Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., not earlier like other people may have posted, at Messick Chiropractic and Fairview Fresh Deli Donuts for their life-changing apple fritters and to get your back popped. Located down the road from Publix. There's so many good places to get local beef, pork, breads, treats, fruits, vegetables, along with some hot sauce, fishing lures, and a lot of holiday gifts this time of year. So a lot of people that don't set up there year-round set up there right now. So brick and mortar highlight, we got Messick Family Chiropractic. This is our local family-owned chiropractic clinic here in Fairview. You cannot miss them if you go to Publix or the Farmer's Market or you come to Town Hall. They've received excellent reviews over the years and help people gain mobility, reduce pain without pharmaceuticals, which is always great. If you have any aches or pains or a hitch in your giddy up, you need to get over there and let them help you out to get more better. They have been supporters within our community and schools. If you see them, they're always on support for the theaters, for ball teams and sports teams and stuff like that. They're sponsoring so many things. They do a great job. Both of them are there, are awesome. Local business highlight. So this is someone that's not a brick and mortar, which is Nafe Farms. This is one of our local farmers market vendors. Their beef is awesome. And more importantly, it's local. You know where it comes from. When you get something, it came from one cow, not 42 cows. You will see his truck and trailer, and you can get all types of cuts of beef each weekend. And if you want a special order or a particular cut, or if you want a partial or full cow, he can help you out. So definitely reach out to Mr. Nafe over there at the farmer's market. Job openings, basically the same as last time. We got a police officer opening, multiple positions at Walmart. Cornerstone Financial still needs a teller. Publix needs a pharmacy tech. Dunkin' Donuts needs a crew member. The Boys and Girls Club needs a member coordinator part-time. Both Subways need Subway sandwich artists. The Pearl needs a caregiver, assisted living, and memory care person. Taco Bell needs a food champion to help closing. Pizza Hut needs a team member. Sonic needs a crew member. And McDonald's needs a floor supervisor. If you have any others, job openings, let us know. History nugget. Let's talk about, Jingo Road, which is, a good one. Jingo Road is the previous name of the city of Fairview, if you didn't know. Before being named Jingo in 1880, the city was called Christina. The unincorporated area was Fairview in 1937 and became a city in 1959. Beginning in 1839, the Jingo Post Office was the social and cultural center of Fairview. Jingo Market and Deli was also named as the city's former name. The word Jingo means Jesus or God in the Basque language, which I did not know, which was used as the old expression of by Jingo, which the town was supposedly named after. So by God. Cool history nugget for the day. Upcoming events recap. Jingo Java's fall market on the 18th was a success. And I didn't know until the day of, I saw a post on Fairview Then and Now about the Fairview Jackets Youth Wrestling was going to be there. They were making hot dogs and chips and stuff like that. I saw the Doughy Duos there, a jewelry vendor, and a couple other vendors that were selling some of the metal things that you hang and little grills. The middle school glow dance was a success, new events. So we still have tonight, or the 21st, October 21st here, from 5:30 to 8 is the Middle Tennessee Veterans Coalition at Dixon Cross Point. And so that will be good for our veterans. And the city still has their trunk or treat on October 25th, coming up this weekend from 4 to 6 p.m. The city has the Movie in the Park event right after, and it's Monsters, Inc. at 6 p.m. on the 25th also. Dixon has their Veterans Day Parade November 9th in downtown Dixon at 10 a.m. On November 10th, 2025, too. Marine Corps has its 250th birthday, Devil Dogs. Franklin will have its Veterans Day Parade on November 11th at 11 a.m. The town on November 15th will have its fall market at the high school. So if you're looking for some kind of farmers market, local gifts and stuff, the fall market at the high school is a great place to go. City Christmas tree is on December 5th at 5 p.m. The Christmas parade is December 6th at 10. Upcoming meetings, just like we talked about, the Board of Commissioners Town Hall is the 28th, and then the next one's the 6th. Parks and Landscape will be at the Triangle School November 3rd. Board of Commissioners Town Hall will be on the 6th at 7 p.m., and no agenda has been posted to any of these. And so we'll have to see how that all kind of pans out there. than for the kids. Fairview is still a thriving, a lot of numerous places for your kids to go do things and activities and sports. There's a thriving Girl Scouts and Scouts BSA programs for elementary school and middle and high. If someone's trying to get their Eagle Scout or get their Gold Award on the Girl Scout side, there are many recreation and travel teams here. A lot of sports, if you haven't noticed. There is Lala's Dance Studio and Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer, if you're into those things. And even some Ninja Warrior Corps stuff is starting to be offered at Elevate Gymnastics, so that's kind of cool. I'm really excited to see with their first summer what they're going to do. There's also an excellent Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu place that teaches a lot more than just moves called Vigilance Martial Arts on 96. We have a great wrestling program with a lot of summer options if you're into that. And they have them from kindergarten all the way up. And the Fairview Titans Junior Pro Cheer is heading to Clarksville on the 25th at 8 a.m. for a competition. And we've got a post of some of their sponsors. So thank you to all these people on this picture for sponsoring and supporting our local school news. So no school on October 31st. Hank, Hawk and Tiger news. We need your help if you have a student there to get some of the weekly notes there. But right now, the Fairview Track or Treat was a success there. And one thing that bubbled up on Fairview Then and Now was that someone dressed up as a pinata that you could hit with a pool noodle to get candy, which was pretty funny. Didn't see who won the best costume or decorations for their vehicle, but that's always a really good time. Westwood has its Tent or Treat October 23rd from 6 to 7:30 p.m. So that'll be good. Falcon news, girls flag football information meeting had over 80 people join. So stuff has been out there. This is a Williamson County pilot program. October 23rd is a wrestling match at Grassland. They are still working on raising money for their supplies. Just like we said, the Glow Dance was a success and they ran that car line like champions. October 21st is the Winter Sports Day picture, and February 11th is the Spring Sports Day. Sixth grade baseball tryouts are going to be on the 22nd, the day of this recording, from 4 to 5:30 at the Fairview Ballpark, Field 1. Bring your bats, gloves, cleats, and hat. 7th to 8th grade will be in January. October 25th is the Halloween fun concert and fundraiser. The Treat Your Boo is still out there if you want to send that to your to a kid or faculty member at the middle school. There's still a Nashville Predator Spirit Night, November 1st at 2:30 p.m. So, and there's also still some support for fundraisers and the theater itself. Jacket news, just like Mr. Buffalini said, the Lady Jacket soccer team are 17-0, even beating Creekwood 10-0 and Sycamore 7-1. You know, they let them at least get 1 point on that one. The next regional game is coming up, was this week on the 21st for the regional semifinals. So we'll see that. There's a lot of team members that won individual awards for all district team, district defense, district goalkeeper, all tournament team, and district most valuable player. So congratulations to that whole team for an awesome season and really showing how much work they put into this sport. The fall concert was this week, which had the choir, the honors orchestra, concert orchestra, and concert band. The pumpkin patch is still at the Apex Bank until Halloween from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. to go get your goodies. This is to fundraise for the FHS Athletic Committee for all their upcoming activities. The cross country team was wrapping up the MSCCA championship on October 18th at Buckner Park. The fall market, just like we said, is November 15th from 3 to 4, or 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is a great place to get your Christmas shopping done and a lot of stuff. Socktober is still going on with NHS and the Beta Club, and they're collecting socks to give to Grace Works until this week, October 24th. PSAT will be administered on October 23rd. And just like we talked about before, every Friday this year, Kona Ice and Tom's Coffee will be there. Senior portraits and senior ads are due by November 21st. So get those in. Those are always fun. The ASVAB, which is the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, is scheduled for December 9th at 8 a.m. in the Learning Lab. If you're thinking about joining the military, this is a must-have. This score will determine what jobs you can pick from in each branch. October 24th, Cheatham County will have a home game and Waverly Central home game on October 30th for football. Looks like the high school bowling team is rolling with a couple practices already down, and there's practices that were on the 21st and then on the 28th. So if you're interested, it looks like you still have time to join. You'll be making trips to Thunder Alley and Dixon to get your roll on. The construction of the ag class, the construction and ag classes have both been rocking. So keep an eye out for some hunting blinds and dog houses from there, along with other FFA events that the ag class will be participating in. There's going to be a NASP archery team underneath the ROTC team. If you're into archery, this is going to be a great way to compete and help and show your school spirit. If you have a student who's going to start driving this year, you need to email your principal and get a Schoolology link to Checkpoint Driver's Training. And you also have to get your parking pass, which is $15 a year. There's also some fundraiser links in the show notes, the homecoming highlights on YouTube that the film team made, which is great, and links to that. So faith moment. This is one from One Church Home here in Fairview. This is one of their pastors, Steve Berger, who does a great job diving into the word and using his extensive world knowledge to connect relevant history to current events and everything in between. This sermon continues the story of David that we've had another segment on before a couple shows ago, after he is now the king, and how he is using kindness, and how I'm not going to be able to say this, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan and the son of Saul. And so we'll break to that real quick, and you'll learn how to say it the correct way by him, because I definitely can't.
All right, so we've been talking about King David a whole bunch, and let me give you some intro as to where we are, and that intro includes some review. So right after David whips Goliath, he makes an unlikely friend. And the unlikely friend is this guy by the name of Jonathan. And why is it unlikely? Well, it's unlikely because Jonathan is King Saul's son. And so here's what's going on politically, right? What's happening politically is this. Saul is on his way down. He's crashing and burning. He's tormented by devils. We've seen all that in the last several weeks since we started this. And David's political star is on the rise. He's been anointed to be king already. He's waiting for all of that to be worked out in God's timing. But it's obvious he's the heir to the throne. Now, in those days, as Pastor Ian has told us in times past, when that happens, when there's a new king come to town, every single person in the old king's family would be wiped out. They would just kill him. That was the way that it was. And not just the king's immediate children, but like the whole household. Anybody that might have any claim to the throne would be killed, so as they could never plan a revolt, a takeover of the throne and get it back for their family. And so that's kind of all this story behind the story that's going on. And so for David and Jonathan to become friends is highly, highly unlikely. It's even more unlikely that they make a covenant together. They don't know what the future is going to behold. We do, because we've read it. But you got to insert yourself into their time frame. They don't know what's about to happen, and so they make a covenant with one another and say, basically, David says, hey, if I don't make it, I want you to make sure you take care of my family. And Jonathan says, dude, if I don't make it, I want to make sure you take care of my family. Let's not do the normal thing and wipe each other's family out. Let's do a God thing and actually take care of each other's family. So in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, and then I'm going to jump straight away into chapter 20, verses 14 through 17, we see this covenant that's made. Really, really important. This agreement between Jonathan and David. Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day, speaking of David, and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David, listen, they made a covenant. because he loved him as his own soul. Chapter 20, verse 14 now. And you shall not only show me, this is Jonathan and David talking right now. Saul's tried to kill David, and they've made their covenant, and now they're gonna strengthen it even more. He says, and you shall not only show me, look at this, the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. Okay, there's that covenant I'm talking about. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Now Jonathan again, caused David to vow. Vow what? To vow to this covenant, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So here's this covenant agreement that they have with one another. And you see this little interesting phrase attached to it, and it's the kindness of the Lord. This covenant is described as the kindness of the Lord. A little phrase that we could read over far too quickly and miss out the message. The message is this. This is a covenant that is rooted in the ways of God and how God treats people. This isn't just a regular covenant. This is a covenant that is the aroma and the fragrance of the goodness and the mercy of God, okay? So it's the kindness of the Lord. 15 to 20 years pass, and Saul and Jonathan have died in battle. David has become king, and now we move into 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13, okay? Here we go, all 13 verses. Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, at your service. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show what? The kindness of God. There it is again. How is there someone there that I can show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there's still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, this is the guy who lives in Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, look at this, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear. It was obvious Mephibosheth is terrified by what the king might do based on what culture was at that time. Don't fear. I will surely show you what? Kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he, Mephibosheth, bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him. And you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet. We got to pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, for those of us who know and love you and are confident of our salvation, may today be a sweet, precious reminder of the kindness of God. And Lord, if there's even one person here this morning that isn't sure of their relationship with you, I pray that by your Spirit, you would draw them to the saving grace of Jesus, to the kindness of God found in him, that they might say yes to your mercy and your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, here we go. The kindness of God. The kindness of God is a covenant, as we saw, between people to do what? To benefit people. That's originally what this was about. It was a covenant between people, Jonathan and David, to benefit people, their families, throughout all of human history. David and Jonathan made that covenant that they would forever provide and protect one another's families. This covenant, again, was characterized by the phrase, the kindness of God. Every time it's brought up in 1 Samuel 18 and again in 2 Samuel 9, it's referred to as the kindness of God, because this covenant represents the type of kindness that God himself shows to people. And they recognize that. This is an elevated kindness. It is an elevated mercy. It is an elevated covenant. This is not the norm. This is otherly. This is otherworldly. This is higher and more beautiful and powerful and loving and gracious. This covenant is the kindness of God. Now, friends, I don't know how many of you have read this story before, but have you ever considered that this covenant between them, David and Jonathan, totally foreshadows, and this is the part that gets me all worked up, totally foreshadows the covenant between God and man through the person of Jesus Christ. It completely is a foreshadowing of what God would do 1,000 years later when Christ came to the earth and offered us the new covenant. So I want to look into some specifics today of who this kindness is for and what it accomplishes. This is going to be crystal clear as we go through this. So get ready. The kindness of God is for the running, get ready, the running, the fallen, and the lame. That's who the kindness of God is for. Well, you go, Steve, running, what are you talking about? How do we know this is for people who are running? Because in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, it gives us the story of why Mephibosheth was lame in his feet. David becomes king. Word gets out, and again, operating in normal cultural fear, not understanding everything, Mephibosheth is 5 years old. His nurse scoops him up and starts to run with him to protect and to save his life, because they don't understand the will of the king. And when you don't understand the will of the king, you run from him. So they're running from the king, and she trips and falls, drops young Mephibosheth, does some kind of damage to both of his feet, breaks them, we don't know, but he ends up then being lame in both of his feet. And the scripture tells us repeatedly, and he was lame in his feet, and he was lame in his feet, because there's something tied to that. But I want to first start by saying that the kindness of God is for the running. It's for those who fall. It's for the lame. This is a type, he is a type, of all of mankind running from God, fallen in our human nature, and lame as a result of it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 tells us that prior to coming to Christ, our spiritual condition, every one of us, we are dead in sin, we are under satanic influence, and we are by nature children of wrath, fallen, lame, sinful, under satanic influence, broken as we can be, just like Mephibosheth. But there's a covenant and there's a king who said, in your fallenness, in your fleeing from me, in your broken lameness, I want you. I want you. Next, the kindness of God is for those living in barren, unfruitful, desolate places. Verse 5 and 6 tells us that Mephibosheth lives where? In Lodabar. And what does Lodabar literally mean when it translates? Barren, unfruitful, and desolate. You see the picture of this kid? He's broken, he's lame, he's weak and hobbling around. And he lives in a place that's barren and unfruitful and desolate. Like Mephibosheth doesn't have it going on. He's not in a good place at all. He's hiding in exile even. Beloved, Mephibosheth represents to us those who are merely existing and not actually living. There's a huge difference. There are people all around the world living in barren, unfruitful, desolate places. They might live in the biggest mansion, but they are barren, unfruitful, and desolate inside themselves, inside their own hearts. They are just existing. They are not living the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. I love this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, after giving us this long list of things of what it's like to walk with God, we get to 2 Peter 1, 8, and he says, for if these things are yours and abound, if you'll do these things, this way of life that God offers us, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. You're not going to be barren and unfruitful if you will come out of Lodabar and meet the king, whose intentions for you are good. They're good. But you got to come out of that place. You got to participate in the newness of life. You've got to say, enough of just existing, man. I want to live. I want to live. This is what's happening here. Next, the kindness of God is for the humble. It's for the humble. In verse 6 and verse 8, you see in Mephibosheth a humility that was required in order to experience the kindness of God. He comes in before the king and fell on his face, it says, before David. And then it emphasizes it more by saying he prostrated himself. And then it emphasizes more because he refers to himself as David's servant. And then to emphasize it more, it says that he bowed down. And then to emphasize it more, he refers to himself as a dead dog. David, what do you even want to do with a dead dog like me? I got nothing. I've got nothing to offer you. I've got nothing to strengthen your calling or your kingdom. I don't bring anything to this relationship at all. I live in Lodabar. I'm barren and unfruitful, and I'm lame in my feet. I can't work the fields. I can't hold a job. I got nothing. And so he humbles himself. He's a picture of every single person that needs to humble themselves if they're going to experience the kindness of God. Humility, not something that we're known for in our day today. We don't want to be humble. We want to be prideful and arrogant. We want to make much of ourselves. It's contrary to the kingdom, beloved. James 4:6 says that God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but what does he do for the humble? He gives them grace. Grace is, you know, we call it unmerited favor, but that's a small part of it. Grace is really divine enablement. It is God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And if you want to see the difference between humility and grace and pride and resistance, you just think about it like this. If you think about God in his awesome power and majesty with some prideful, arrogant little cuss who's trying to make his way and do his own thing, and God just has his hand on his forehead, holding him back, resisting the proud. So you can kick and stamp and try to do everything that you want to do and have your own way and throw a hissy fit, but so long as you are trying to do your own thing and not God's thing, God is resisting you, no question about it. But what does he do for the humble? He gives them grace. Grace isn't earned. Grace is a gift. He gives them divine enablement. He gives them grace. But you got to be humble to receive it. I love this one. 1 Peter 5:6. Peter says you've got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he, God, will exalt you. But you see this thing with humility, it's our choice. We have to make a decision to what? Humble ourselves. Have you ever humbled yourself? Is your life characteristic of Mephibosheth that would prostrate itself before the king and bow down and get on your face? Say, God, I'm your servant. I'm nothing before you. I'm a dead dog. I can't believe you would even want anything to do with me and my fallen, broken lameness. God, I bring nothing to the table here. That's Mephibosheth. That's humility. And that is who the kindness of God is for. Well, God's just lucky that I'm even coming to church. Ha! Joke. That's a joke. Humility. Humbling ourselves. Understanding. Beloved, you realize the very first beatitude, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. The very first beatitude, Jesus said what? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. What does poor in spirit mean? Poor in spirit means you recognize your total spiritual poverty and brokenness before God.
And welcome back from that sermon from Steve Berger from our very own One Church home here in Fairview. I had to read 1 and 2 Samuel to understand more about this story because it fascinates me how much David had went through, how much had happened after Goliath that I didn't know and learn growing up at the churches I went to. So I suggest diving into it because it's a fascinating story. Donations. On the donations front, nothing new from Fountain. We're going to have other payment options soon, as soon as we finish some tax stuff and some accounts and all that. It's really annoying. But if you're in the Fountain app, which is a podcasting 2.0 app, you just use a little button up there to boost and support, and you can do that, and you can support us for $3.50 a month. If you haven't seen that, you can look at our website. A lot of stuff on the website's been updated. We've been really focused on trying to get as much information that's relevant to people of Fairview on there, and so I hope that other people will show support. And if you make a donation of over $19.59, we will call you out on the show unless you put a note that says you want to be anonymous. So still nothing there yet, so please just keep following us. And as we wrap up, thank you. If you found this podcast helpful, thank you for listening. Please support this show with your time, talents, and treasure. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please share it with us. Your producer of the show, your talent, if you have any skills that could help the show or news, please let us know. Your treasure, you're receiving this product for free without any paid advertisements. You're getting truly local news. And if that's worth something, please consider supporting us financially using this value for value system so that we can keep doing more. Please follow us on social media and hellofairview.com. As a lot of things are coming. Thank y'all. Bye.